Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Here's one that we pulled off of one of the news wires, and we got a little bit of the police report. A 68-year-old man was discovered inside the Desert College of Alhambra, which is a junior college. He had broken into one of the art classes and had vandalized one of the art pieces that had been was worked on by one of the students. It was an art piece that had been worked on by that man's wife. And we have that gentleman on the phone from Alhambra this evening. Hi, is this Lloyd?
Yes, Lloyd Bonafide, Phil. How are you?
Good. You sound no worse for spending the night in jail.
Oh, I'm all right. And I did what I felt was necessary, and I would... I don't think I would have been a man had I not done it.
Well, let me tell the audience what you did. Your wife is enrolled in an art class at the Desert College there, right?
My wife is enrolled in a class where, allegedly, she took painting and painting and sculpture. And she went once a week to this class with...
Who is the professor?
Well, there were two. There was a Bollinger... William Bollinger, Bill Bollinger was the art class on Friday nights, and he would alternate with a woman. I don't know her name.
All right, now your wife has taken an art class there, and she was also doing sculpture, clay sculpture?
Yeah, they had a guy, a model, come in. And this guy is some 55, 56-year-old guy, and he would model in the nude for the... people in the class, and I objected to this, and my wife said that it was something that they did, because you have to understand, I'm in a heating and plumbing business. I don't know anything about art, and I wanted my wife to be happy. We're empty nesters. We had two kids move out about 5 years ago, so we're just trying to do the best thing that we can.
And all right, so your wife's taking an art class. And she was painting or sculpting this guy?
She did a sculpture of this guy. And she did some sketches of him. And I looked in her sketchbook, and this guy was abnormally endowed. And I questioned the validity of an art class where this guy comes in, a male model that they hire, who is abnormally endowed, and they've got senior citizen females doing paintings and sculptures, clay sculptures of him. I also incidentally found out that he had asked my wife out for coffee.
All right, that's the part I want to get to, because you said, you told the arresting officers that this guy, you suspected him of being predatory towards your wife?
Well, my wife told me he had asked her out for coffee.
And naturally, your wife declined, right?
Yeah, my wife declined, but when I got a look at this, the sketch of this guy, that he was a model in her art class, I got a look at it. He was abnormally large, and also that she had done a clay sculpture. That's when I had a blackout.
Okay, let's go back. You confronted your wife with the fact that she had drawn these pictures of this guy, even though you knew she was in an art class, and that this guy is the model, right?
I told her I saw her sketches.
Okay, and hold on. And she showed you the sketches of this guy. Now, what happened, Lloyd? What caused you to, as you say, black out and wake up in the classroom of this college? First of all, let me ask you, have you had a physical? Do you have any kind of epilepsy or anything?
No, I do not. I don't have any kind of illness like that.
Because your wife said that she not only drew a picture of this guy, that she did a clay sculpture. That somehow triggered something.
Yes, the doctor said I had an episode. What happened was this male model, who I again have to tell you is abnormally large, endowed, she did a clay sculpture. Now, it's one thing to paint a picture. It's something else entirely to do a clay sculpture of a guy who's got one like that. And as soon as she told me she had done a clay sculpture of him, I blacked out. And I woke up in the classroom.
You had driven all the way to the school. You broke into the classroom, right?
Yes, I did.
And you broke off part of that sculpture.
Well, the police officer, I came around when I had a flashlight in my face, and the police officer said I was holding the thing in my hand.
The abnormally large part of this guy, you were holding the sculpture in your hand.
The hangy thing was in my right hand, yes, sir.
Do you think you need a doctor, or...
No, I don't think I need a doctor. I was angry at this guy who's well endowed asking my wife out for coffee, and then she tells me that she's doing a sculpture. I have to tell you that I am a donor to KCET Television and to the local Alhambra Art Museum. I give money to KCRW Radio. I am an art lover, and I will tell you that by an abnormally endowed male model letting him in to a painting and sculpture class for senior citizens is not art, and I don't think our tax money should be supporting it. I think it's absurdity, and it's the very thing that Robert Mapleton did all over. And I won't let the Desert College of Alhambra use in their painting and sculpture classes male models with penises the size of water buffaloes, when in point of fact...
All right, hold on. You're upset because your wife did a clay sculpture of this guy, but you vandalized a classroom.
I got angry. Yes, I did, and I admit that. But any normal man would have done the same thing. Any normal man...
Were you threatened by this guy?
He asked my wife out, and he was abnormally large.
I got that already, man. You've told us that, and you busted into the classroom. I mean, first of all, to black out and to drive all the way to a classroom and break into it, and then when you came to, the police have a flashlight in your face, and you broke off the clay penis. Isn't that what you did?
I broke it off, yeah, and I had it in my hand.
What do you think that was all about? Tell me about it, Lloyd.
Well, I don't think there's anything more significant about it than the fact that she's, you know, I don't think it's the right thing for them to do.
You think there's a little jealousy going on there?
No, sir.
Your wife is loyal to you.
My wife is loyal, yeah.
So for you, it was all about obscenity.
For me, it was an obscenity to have a male model in a classroom for senior citizen women who are a lot more socially delicate than a lot of these young women. And
you got angry, and you drove down there and busted into the class.
And I'm sorry that I did that, and I told the arresting officers that I didn't mean to cause them undue difficulty, but I just got angry. You see?
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out here. Lloyd Bonafide is with us. He's owns a heating and plumbing business in Alhambra. His wife's in an art class. And they had a male model come in, and apparently Lloyd didn't like the dimensions on this guy because his wife did a sculpture of him and painted a picture of him. And so he apparently blacked out, drove down to the art class, and vandalized, busted off, the sculpture. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. And Lloyd, you seem like a nice guy.
Well, you know what I wanted to tell you. I'm a Korean War veteran. I've owned a business in this country for a long time. I love my community. I would never hurt anybody. But I'll tell you, I'm a veteran. And there's certain things that I don't want to see. First of all, I don't want to see my wife get... my wife be abused, and secondly...
But this isn't abuse, man. This is a classroom for art that she took willingly.
Yeah, but you know something? She's a senior citizen, and you don't show nude men to a woman her age. You just don't do it. You don't show...
Well, she's married to you. I'm sure that you take your clothes off in front of her.
No, but I'm talking about nude young men. You show a nude young man to a woman 60 years of age or older... And tumors can form, heart palpitations, a lot of things happen to these old, these poor old gals when they see some young stud. Suddenly, blood vessels dilate, eyes go fog over, the hearing goes, they get weak muscularly, and that's what I was talking about.
You were in fear of the health of your wife, that she saw a nude guy and she was going to have palpitations or a heart attack.
I thought... Especially the way this guy was endowed, yeah. It was all over.
All over for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Feet up in the air.
All right. 1-800-449. I got you, Lloyd, okay?
So are we going to go and do a talk show?
Yeah, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Lloyd, fearing for his wife's health, didn't want a nude model in her painting class for fear that she'd pass out or have a heart attack or her eyes would fog over. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. This is Lloyd Bonifay. He owns a heating and plumbing business in Alhambra. He broke into a art classroom at the Desert College in Alhambra where his wife takes an art class to vandalize a sculpture. Now, you say that the male model, Lloyd, are you there?
I'm right here, sir, yes.
All right. You say that the male model was abnormally well endowed.
Yes.
Did you meet this man?
No, sir, I did not meet him. I saw my wife's sketches of him.
Okay, now let me ask you something, because this could be pivotal, okay?
You have to understand, my wife is an elderly person.
Hold on, because I think this is pivotal. The dimensions, according to the police, of the clay model that your wife was working on, the dimension of the clay model was 12 inches high.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Police officers say that the well-endowed appendage, if you will, was 7.5 inches long on the clay model.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay, that means if you were to, on a normal sized man, that would mean his would have to be 4 feet long.
Yes, sir, I don't know about the police officers told me that, and that's what got me shocked.
Well, there's no guy with it 4 feet long. My theory is that your wife, while probably a very nice lady and maybe someday a good artist, got the dimensions wrong because she had... I've taken art classes. One of the things...
Oh, wait. Phil, you have to understand something.
No, hold. You understand that their model had a 7.5-inch long thing on it. That means if it was a normal-sized guy, it would be 4 feet long. You understand that?
Yeah, and that's what I'm... I don't think they should show that to an older woman. And
I don't think they did. I think your wife doesn't have dimension in her mind the way most young art students do not. Beginning art students, the first thing that they have a hard time with is trying to get proportion.
Well, I don't know what the hell you're trying to say.
Well, I know, but if you could understand proportion, you may understand that maybe this guy is like normal, but your wife exaggerated it for whatever reason.
Oh, so what's that mean? I got one the size of a thumb, and she hopes that she's...
No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that she might have just not had good sense in terms of proportion as an art student. Let me take a call here. Lucerne Valley on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to talk to Floyd in regards to this.
Yes, sir.
Floyd, in our school, they teach them that this is art. This is not pornography. This is not... for anything sexually aroused.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure that the elderly senior citizens, females, have families and husbands and have been exposed to this type of art or physical closeness with their husbands.
Yes, sir.
And, if they didn't like it, they have the opportunity to put down their brushes and their clay and walk out.
Well, sir, I
think you were wrong in doing this.
Well, sir, let me make this point. I don't think you show a senior citizen woman some guy that's hung like a Kansas City steer. You just don't do that in a decent society.
Well, years ago, my father went to art school, and I was a very young lad.
Yes, sir.
And he took me to art school, and this woman walked out quite voluptuous young.
She dropped her robe,
and she was totally nude.
Yeah.
And as a child, I began to giggle, and my father just reprimanded me something fierce.
Yes, sir.
And told me that it was nothing but art and to look at it that way.
If you want to look at
art in pictures or sculpture, anywhere you go and see something that is dirty or pornographic,
then you've
got a problem.
Well, let me ask you this. You walk into a bathroom stall in any major baseball stadium in America, and generally someone has scrawled with a Swiss Army knife an appendage the size of a Polish sausage. Is that art?
Intelligence is about the size of a microbe.
Right, but do you call that art? Of course you don't. That is pornography, that is dirt.
Well, wait a minute.
So
there's my wife with her tongue hanging out of her head, gleefully drawing some guy's endowment like it's a vine hanging from a grape tree.
Well, now, how do you know that your wife's tongue was hanging out of her head?
Oh, well, come on.
You're drawing a conclusion that you don't even know nothing about.
She's sitting there with her robe half open, scrawling some large thing hanging between a guy's legs, and...
How do you know that?
Well, I don't know, but God, come on.
Well, now, wait a minute. What is she doing in our school with her robe on half open?
Well, no, she's at home. Well, that's a good question. That's a good question, too. She's got her tongue hanging out of her head.
How do you know that she's not thinking of you while she's scrolling this guy?
No, not the size of this thing she ain't thinking of me.
Oh, I see. We have a problem here then.
That's what I was saying.
It's a
jealousy thing, isn't it?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Both of you guys back up because I'm a Korean War veteran.
I don't care what you are, sir.
Don't piss me off, okay?
Oh, wow.
Now what are you talking about? You going to take both of us out?
Let me tell you, both of you guys were standing in front of me. I'd take two shots to both of your Adam's apples. You'd be on the floor.
Oh.
I got you.
I see, Mr. Henry. What about that model?
What would you do?
It's a jealousy thing, and he's afraid his wife's going to dump him for the younger guy.
You know, if you were standing in front of me, I'd slap you.
Mr. Henry, tell him to hang in there, guy. Things will get worse.
How dare you say hang in there?
I'm out of there, bud.
How dare you
I'll
use the word
rest
hang?
Of the comment off the air.
Okay,
or
so
on the air.
In other words, that you're talking about being hung. Yeah, he hung up.
You said that.
No, but you made me say it.
Okay. Here is Long Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
What gives this guy the right to say stuff like this?
What gives me the right?
Yeah, what gives you the right?
I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought for this country in Korea. And Mr. Henry made me say, hung up.
It doesn't matter. I could care less what you are.
Well, you asked, so I'm telling you, sweetie.
No, I'm just saying what gives you the right to talk to people like that?
What did I do? All I'm saying is...
Talking about you're going to slap people?
Well, that guy said to me that he thinks I got a little tiny one.
So what?
That's enough to drive me right around the bend, especially
for your wife. She's supposed to do that. She's a student.
Yeah, but you don't draw pictures of some guy that's got one like a baseball bat hanging between the... You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, this guy is...
What difference does it make? She's in an art class.
She's a senior citizen. It could give her a heart attack to see something like that.
Then take her out the class.
I'm allowed to do that? I thought this was women's liberation, where the women get to go out and have cocktails, and they don't have to have the permission of the man.
God, you are so bogus.
Oh, I'm tired.
You okay?
I need a nap.
I'm gone.
Can I come to your house and use your... Hello?
Hello?
I need to use your recliner.
Whatever.
All right, sweetheart.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Phil.
Bye, dear. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm laying down.
Okay. Here is Virginia Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I'm wondering if Lloyd might be a little tipsy tonight.
I'm not tipsy.
You're not tipsy?
No, I've just got a wife who apparently is unhappy with what I can do, the kind of pipe I can lay. She wants some guy that'll bring some heavier lumber to the construction site, if you will.
Well, do you feel a little competition?
Wouldn't you?
No, I don't think I would.
Well,
I have a question for you, though.
Some lady modeling for your man with a couple of milk cans on her that would...
Okay, thank you very much. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Ouch. God. Just by doing that, the right side of my neck, you know, I got this thing with the vertebrae in my neck, and I go to the chiropractor, and he says, it's popping out, and now it's back in. Do I want a Motrin? No, I popped two Advil. I think I ought to be okay. I got just all messed up all the way up my spine, my lower back, my spine, my neck. It hurts. It's cool. It's fine. So I can't believe I just heard what you guys were saying. You're going to go see The Who at the Hollywood Bowl? Those guys are 112. You guys, you new generation of rock stars, just do yourself, rock fans, I should say, just do yourselves a favor. Stick with bands your own age. The Who will disappoint. They're 158. Pete Townsend can't even get up in the air and do that windmill thing anymore. I'm going to go see Jethro Tull September 16th out here at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza because I saw Tull five times as a kid. And, of course, now it's a completely different band. Ian Anderson, you know, he ain't hopping around the stage anymore. But I'm just a big big Tull fan to the point where I'm putting them up as a screensaver now. I've gone into and they're 200 years old. But I'm the same age as them. See what I'm saying? I can go in there and go, yeah, I remember when you guys actually looked good. I remember when you guys were actually selling records. I remember when you guys were playing places like the Forum, Madison Square Garden, Fillmore West. Now you're playing the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, 1,500-seaters. Rationalize away, Hendry. It's the same thing. They're 200 years old. Yeah, but they just made me smile. I like their music, so the hell with you. And I even went so far, like the groupy, stupid, dumb fan that I am, I emailed them saying, my wife and my friends, we're going to come see you guys, you know. And they emailed, their bass player is the webmaster. So he emailed back, great, whatever, you know. Half the guys in Jethro Tull weren't even born when Aqualung came out. They got a bass player that's, like, younger than the album. And then you have, you know, you got Ian Anderson. So I wrote them. I said, yeah, me and about 1,200 other people are going to come see you guys. Great news. For this, we're traveling all the way over to, the, you know, California. But that's the kind of thing. See, and Tull and, like, those bands, they tour now. That's where they make their bread. I don't know if those guys are making any money on, although they keep selling. Aqualung is probably one of those perennial sellers. And Thick as a Brick, I don't know what other albums. And The Who, you know, who's next? And Tommy and those, to me, those are the two biggest albums they had. Tommy and Who's Next? Who Are You? But you're going to go see those guys. And I heard a really interesting story. Schaefer was telling me he and a couple of friends went to see Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. They actually thought they were going to see Led Zeppelin. Or your friend thought he was going to see Zeppelin. No, it's only two guys, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. That ain't Led Zeppelin. Well, have fun, dude. And who else you seeing at the Bowl? I didn't even know they were doing rock and roll there. I saw the Doors at the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, I got to quit talking about my life. It's just, your friend says, hey, I'm going to see Zeppelin. Robert Plant is 612. Jimmy Page is 611 years old. And they, neither one of those guys aged well. None of us do, but those guys particularly. And, you know, and I was just talking to my young friends here. They said, God, I'm going to go bald. What should I do, Phil? I said, go bald. Just don't. Yeah, grease it up, wear the ponytail on the back. That's what you want to do with the bald on the top and the ponytail on the back. No, 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 no. And do me another favor. Don't wear a bandana like that Van Zandt clown in Springsteen's band. What's his name? Little Steven. Get out of here with that bandana, Baldy. That dude, Little Steven, in the Springsteen band with that bandana on the head, take it off, shine up your head, and go out on stage and play some guitar. The bandana on the head. Like you're Deion Sanders. Like you're, what are you, all of a sudden Bluebeard the Pirate or something? Take the thing off. Okay. Anyway, this is the anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial, which is an interesting, very interesting thing to me. The Scopes Monkey Trial is when a teacher in Tennessee, John Scopes, volunteered to become a defendant and test a law in Tennessee. And the law simply said, you may not teach evolution. You cannot teach. The technical wording of the law was something along the lines of, nothing will be taught that denies the divine orientation and the divine creation of man. Nothing in any public school in Tennessee will be taught that denies the divine orientation of man. There were a couple of public figures, prominent business people in Tennessee, that thought that was a load. And they looked for a young teacher who would help them test that law. And they found a willing teacher in John Scopes. He had been taught evolution at the University of Kentucky. which by that time in the early 20s, it was not a very old science. So John Scopes taught evolution in a high school classroom in Dayton, Tennessee, and was arrested and put on trial. He was 24. He was a very young guy. He never testified in the trial because it was conceded that he had taught the theory of evolution in his general science class. He wasn't saying that he hadn't. He was saying, yes, I had. And Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryant and H.L. Mencken, these are three giants, came to Dayton, Tennessee as an attorney in the case of Clarence Darrow to represent John Scopes, in the case of William Jennings Bryant to prosecute, and H.L. Mencken, who was like one of the big-time reporters in the United States at that time, to cover the trial. Anyway, the guy was found guilty, was fined $100. But I wondered whatever happened to the guy. Because right now in Kansas, they're going through this again, if you can believe it. They're in the state of Kansas, man, they're wondering whether or not evolution should be taught in schools. Didn't they already outlaw it? So this is like the end of the century, the beginning of the 21st century, and I think that it's been outlawed in the state of Kansas. You can't teach evolution. Right now what they're doing is they're having some play reenacting the Scopes monkey trial, as they call it, in Kansas. Let me see. This is, my producer should have been doing this work for me. Is evolution against the law in Kansas or not? Teaching evolution, I should say. Or maybe I should put it more succinctly. Is evolving into a higher being illegal in Kansas, or do you have to go to Tennessee to do that? They have said it must be de-emphasized. Okay, so anyway, they have a reenactment of the Scopes monkey trial going on in Kansas right now. I always thought this was an interesting thing. Because how can you ever say that creationism is a science when it never changes? Not that I want to get on a soapbox and talk about this, man, but if it don't change, it ain't a science. See, in other words, no matter what they dig out of them thar hills, no matter what they dig up out of the Serengeti Desert, they can find every single monkey that ever was leading all the way on up into man, and they could put that on display downtown at the Natural Science and History Museum, and the cats who believe in creationism are still going to tell you evolution doesn't exist. They're still going to say it never, ever happened. That ain't science, man. That's just a hard and fast philosophy. Based upon what? I don't know. Based upon the Bible. But you can't call it science. You can call it anything you want. You can't call it science. You can't call it science because it never, ever, 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 ever is subject to the changing aspects of science in the laboratory, evidence and theory and testing and retesting and all those things that go into scientific theory. You can't do it because no matter what you come up with, here it is. Here's the missing link, man. This is it. This is the ape that we were missing between that ape and this ape. This is proof. No, it's not proof. Yes, it is. No, it isn't, because no matter what kind of proof you guys come up with, it's always going to be creationism. That's the way it goes. Okay, I give you your creationism. How can you call that science? Well, it's just a scientific. No, it isn't scientific. It's not scientific. You guys aren't using any science. You're saying that no matter what happens, no matter how it happens, no matter when in the history of man we discover whatever we discover, it's like saying that I got a polio vaccine here. I'm going to now inoculate that person with the polio vaccine. Well, they're still going to get polio. Even if they don't get crippled? Yes. Even if they don't have a hard time breathing? Yes. Even if they never have evidence of the polio virus? Yes, they're still going to get polio. Why? Because that's what we believe. So that's why it ain't. Anyway, here we are, 2000, whatever it is, and we still got the monkey thing going on. I happen to be very happy of the fact that my ancestors, most of them, monkeys. And I ain't kidding. My ancestors were horse thieves and monkeys and bootleggers. And like I said, if evolution's been outlawed in Kansas, you can move to Nebraska and still evolve. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. You know what they're celebrating the anniversary of is Live Aid, 15 years ago. Some of the biggest names in music rocked out in London and Philadelphia for Live Aid. That was 15 years ago. That was 85. If you recall, they had a stage set up in Philly, one in London, and it was to raise money for some cause, and I don't remember what it was for now. I remember when was it Ethiopian famine? I thought that was USA for Africa. That too? And who were those musicians that sang Do They Know It's Christmas? That was Band Aid. It was all the same thing. I didn't know. Wasn't there one that they put together to raise money for farmers? Oh, that was Farm Aid. Bob Geldof did the Band-Aid thing. Bob Geldof was in the Boomtown Rats, I remember. And I remember Band-Aid. I thought it was a tremendous song and kind of an interesting, because it was around Christmas time in 83 or 84, I think. And then along came that USA for Africa thing with everybody holding hands and Whitney, what's that cat's name? Quincy Jones. But Live Aid, I couldn't remember. So you're telling me that was for the Ethiopian deal. How are those people eating down in Ethiopia these days? Any better? Oh, you mean they're not? What happened? You mean the catering truck didn't get down there? You know, the bread that they raised for those people, I bet you everybody in Ethiopia must weigh 840 pounds now. They must be. $100 million raised, and there's still guys down there on diets. With the bread, they still got flies on their lips. What's going on? Somebody track down my money! $100 million raised. You'd think everybody is on Jenny Craig down there now. Everyone's popping Dexedrine, but you're telling me they still got flies on the lips. Something's wrong with this world. You know, if they run out of food down there, we can have Phil-Aid. What we'll do is we'll send them down $100 million worth of cigarettes. They had to take their mind off the food they ain't getting, I guess. You know, just because they have those pot bellies don't mean they're eating, folks. That means it's distended. That's from hunger. Guy says, hell, I saw them people in Ethiopia. A guy had a gut on him like me. That ain't beer, Jim. That's like they're not eating. So, you know what they say about that oral fixation, you know, when you quit smoking, start eating. In this case, you quit eating, start smoking. As I said to you last week, it's true. You can check this out, guys. When there's no food, when there's a famine, when there are people starving in the world, it has absolutely nothing to do with the world's inability to feed people. We do fantastic, and we always will. We have enough food to feed every man, woman, and child on the planet many times over. When people starve, it's politics. That's what's going on. You know that. It's got nothing to do with us running out of food, though, okay? It's got nothing to do with any of that doomsday bull crap. It has to do with politics. The Somalians want to do this. The Ethiopians want to do that. Best way to do is starve these people out. You know what? If you want to win the hearts and minds of the people, starve them to death. That sounds good. Cambodians worked good for them, didn't it? Whatever. So it was 15 years ago, and I remember Phil Collins got on a jet, was in London, sang, and then inflicted it on us again. I mean, then he sang again for us in Philly. It was... He was in London, got on a Concorde, flew to Philadelphia, and landed like an hour before he was supposed to be on in London. It was weird. Then he played drums for Led Zeppelin, which was one of the all-time highs. And then, speaking of a bald guy, that's the guy you ought to aspire to look like, Craig. Phil Collins, who claims he's never had hair plugs. Bull crap. That guy's got a widow's peak, man. Looked like Picasso drew it. Looks like somebody got the plugs wrong on him. Anyway, here was the... Remember these bands? Now, this was the 80s for you. This was it. Adam Ant, INXS, Spandau Ballet. Every one of these people, by the way, that I'm mentioning, they're all on heroin today. Joan Baez, Elvis Costello, The Hooters. Remember The Hooters? No, of course not. Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. That's the only band still going strong. Sade. Do you remember her? She was this little, beautiful... African English chick, and she sang Smooth Operator, and that was it, and then forget it. Now, they're not mentioning Zeppelin, Bob Dylan, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, and a few others. Why is that? They weren't at the show, or they were at the show? Maybe it's because they're still alive? I don't know. So anyway, then they had Sade, then they had Run DMC. Remember those cats? They still making any records? Sting, Phil Collins, Howard Jones. Know who he is? If you were 15 back... Yeah, there you go. Howard Jones, exactly. That's the guy, right. Has to strap it to his leg. And then Judas Priest. And they don't exist. So Led Zeppelin was at that show with Phil Collins playing drums and Ron Wood and a couple other guys, but they're not in this article, and that's because the guy who's writing this article is like 20 or 21 years old, and all he cares, you know, he don't know from them cats, man. He's just talking, you know, where's Pearl Jam? That's, for him, that was the seminal moment in rock and roll when Cobain blew his brains out. That's when rock began. Ron Wood and Keith Richards played an acoustic set with Bob Dylan. I can't think of anything more excruciating than that, can you? Bob Dylan's okay. Ronnie Wood is not a bad... But Keith Richards, including himself in all of these Legends of Rock shows... You know, I saw a film where Keith Richards played with Chuck Berry. And Chuck Berry, it was all he could do to keep from strangling Keith Richards. Seriously, it was a movie about these heavyweights playing with Chuck Berry, who's one of the big shots, and Chuck Berry, he ain't that good. I mean, you know what? Chuck Berry wrote some great songs, and in his heyday was a good guitar player. Now the guy's a freaking joke, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, Chuck, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, but you know what, man? You're real dull on stage, and getting Keith Richards out there with you, man, that just doubles the boredom. And that guy was, the two of them didn't get along, and Chuck has given Keith Richards a hard time because he don't know how to play guitar the way that Chuck Berry plays guitar, and the way Chuck Berry plays guitar, maybe one time was pretty good, but now I play better than him, and Keith Richards wasn't getting the sound right, and the whole thing sucked. And meanwhile, Keith missed a dental appointment, his 143rd in a row, so the whole Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, that was the movie, exactly. And it was interesting from the standpoint of seeing Chuck Berry's life and times and all that stuff. But the music was really bad. And it was another one of these instances where Keith Richards somehow was going to enlighten the rest of the world as to these great treasures that we have here in America in terms of the rock and roll that we have, you know, these overlooked great stars. Well, you know what? Chuck Berry got about as much fame as he was going to get. And thanks, Keith. We don't need to be reminded of the guy. Roll Over Beethoven was pretty good. And Brown-Eyed Handsome Man, that's a good song. And there were a lot of good things that he did. But now the guy tours. He plays with these pickup bands. I mean, like he comes into town and he goes down to a garage where some kids are playing. He says, you guys want to make $5? Yeah. Come on up and back me tonight. He does. He don't have a band. He just goes into town and he gets these cats that'll work for free, and he gets them to back him. And that's Chuck Berry. Does it sound like I don't like him? I shouldn't say that. It's Keith Richards I can't stand. I'm sorry. And if K-Earth would just stop having concerts featuring him, you know... You used to work there, Schaefer. Why don't you give them a call and tell them never to hire another Chuck Berry backup band so that Chuck would have to go out there by himself, play an acoustic set like Sting? Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Chuck Berry goes out, does an acoustic set like Sting. That's double the suicide. That's double the calls to the suicide prevention hotline. That's me. That's my whole family calling. Chuck Berry.